Well, good evening. As well as said, we're starting our studies in Psalm 23 this evening. So we're going to be doing Psalm 23 for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions. I can't remember how many either. So tonight we're going to be looking at the topic or the section of Jesus being our shepherd, or the Lord is my shepherd, part of Psalm 23. Now, when we say Psalm 23, it's one of the Psalms that most people do know. It's one of the most common popular Psalms for believers and non-believers alike. It's a psalm that comes up in many different scenarios and occasions. One of the common ones in sick beds and funerals. But what we'll see as we're going through the psalm is it's not just for those dire circumstances. It's a psalm of life for us to give us hope and joy in the here and now as well. It's really a psalm that's speaking of God's provision to us, God's ownership over us, and our dependence on God as well. So it's all about that relationship that we have with God. So as we look at this psalm, Psalm 23, it's also a psalm that is written by David. And as we come, we look at David, we see that all the kind of accounts in David's life, we see coming through the threads of Psalm 23 here. We know that David was a young shepherd boy. We see him in 1 Samuel 16 as being a young shepherd boy out in the fields. And through the accounts of the life of David, through the different books in the Bible, we see him growing up from being a young shepherd boy to being the mighty warrior that's leading the army of Israel, Israel being his flock. We then see him going to be the king, being in the palace situation. And then we see him, through all these different events of his life, how he depends on the Lord. And we see that relationship that he has with the Lord as well. And as we think about his life, as we read Psalm 23, we can kind of see the different accounts in his life coming through. It's almost as if he's sitting, you know, in these twilight years, thinking across his life and penning Psalm 23 here, who the Lord has been to him and what he's been through with the Lord by his side. We see in 1 Samuel 16 that the people are speaking to the prophet and they're saying, we want a king, look at all the other nations, we want a king. They hadn't had a king before. And we see that, that the prophet goes out on God's command and appoints a king. He appoints King Saul. But the prophet appointed the king on outward appearance. Tall, strong, looked good, good warrior. And we see that King Saul was appointed on those outward circumstances. And we see that as time went on, he didn't perform well as a king. And he went on a downward slide and God took his hand off him. But what we then see is that God sees to it that the correct man is appointed, the man after God's own heart. And that's where David comes into play here. The prophet was told to go and appoint one of the sons of Jesse to anoint him to be the new king over Israel. And it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, do not look in his appearance or in the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks in the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So when we see David being chosen by God, being anointed by kings, by prophet Samuel, it was because of his inner heart. And that's what we need to be like as well, to have the right heart before God and interacting with other people and our circumcised in their daily walk in the correct way with the heart that God would have. So David was anointed at that time, but it took him a long period of time before actually stepping into his actual position. He was anointed by God with a preparation period to go through. He was a young shepherd boy when he was called and anointed. And he was anointed by Samuel, the oil over the head. And it was many years that he was still in the field, tending the sheep, looking after that flock before he was then moved on into the higher calling that was on his life. But through it all, we see it was a preparation ground for David. He was learning many, many lessons through that time, building up his skills and his stature in God to be able to deal with the situations in the future. We've also seen that the life of David did some low times as well. You know, he went up in when he was in the palace in that position, up to the top deck, and had a wee look over at Bathsheba. And she was in their wee naked bath in the top of the building. And he called her over and committed adultery. He was married, she was married. And we know from the Bible accounts that he committed adultery and then ended up getting the man killed. But we see David repented before God, and in David we also see that picture of we can go through good times, we can go through bad times, we can go through times that we follow God, and we can go through times we make mistakes. But the Lord was still the Lord for David, and still forgave David. And we see, I think it's Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, renew a steadfast spirit within me. That was David pouring out his heart before God, looking for repentance. So as we come to Psalm 23, we're thinking about all these different accounts of David's life. But through it all, there was a man that was with God, walked with God, and was restored by God when he made a mistake. We see that David was a man who loved the Lord. But he was a sinner with faults, the same as we are as well. He was a man that needed God, the same as we need God in our daily lives as well. And even when we make mistakes, we can be restored the same way as David did. So just to read out Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So the main part we're looking at is the Lord is my shepherd this evening. So it's a statement, the Lord is my shepherd. And you can count it out in one hand, those kind of five statements there. And it can remind us that even when we feel alone in life, we're not. The Lord is our shepherd. When we are in the fields, we feel as if we're out there alone, tending to all the things we need to deal with. We're feeling burdened and things are getting on top of us. The Lord is our shepherd. He is with us by our side each and every moment of each and every day. We are never alone because God is there. We just need to look for him and recognise him with us. And every day what we need to do is be like the sheep though. That we need to look for our shepherd, listen to his voice and be attentive to the voice and his message to us when he speaks to us. What this statement of the Lord is my shepherd does, it reminds us that we need to rely on God. If he is our shepherd, we are dependent on him. So we need to look to God to meet our needs. Look to God when we're finding things difficult. Look to God when we've got something that we're needing to overcome. That he is there for us. He is our shepherd to oversee over our life. It's a fantastic statement. It's a good prayer to pray as well. If we're ever unsure what to do, know, Lord, you're my shepherd. Look after me. Something as simple as that through the difficult times of our life. And through the psalm, as I said, the many different circumstances that David went through, the Lord was his shepherd through it all, good times and then bad times. And that is what God can be to us as well. But as we look at the psalm, we see right from the word go, the Lord is my shepherd in the first statement, and then we go through to the end, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we're kind of bookmarked by the Lord at the start and the Lord at the end. And it's quite good bookmarks to have. The Lord at the start and the Lord at the end, and hopefully that's what our lives will be. We start off with the Lord and we'll end with the Lord also. But it's also quite a huge thing to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. We actually contemplate that statement, the Lord, who the Lord is, what he is, what he's done, his character, and all those different attributes of the Lord. To say that he is our shepherd is quite an immense statement for us to make. But the fact is, David said it, and David knew it at the very bottom of his heart. He knew it in every fibre of his being that Jesus, well, not Jesus, the Lord was David's shepherd. We need to have that same confidence as well. No matter what we are going through, we can say that Jesus is our good shepherd, that he is with us, he's for us, and he's not against us, and we need to cling on to him each and every day. David knew the Lord through experience, and we also need to know the Lord through experience as well, to have that personal relationship with him, and also to rely on him through each and every day, what we are faced with in our daily lives. So who was the Lord to David? As David sat down and penned this psalm, you know, I wonder what was going through his mind as he thought over all the kind of accounts of his life. He'd think of the Lord in his younger days when he had a passion for God as a young boy out in the fields looking after the sheep, how the Lord was with him and gave him a joy and gave him that song in his heart that he could always just sing it to the Lord and play his harp and worship God. He could think of the Lord and the message he gave to the prophet to come and anoint him as a future king. He could think of how the Lord moved in his life in that sense. He could think of the confidence that the Lord gave him when he was faced with Goliath and the big army behind Goliath for the 40 days when Goliath came out and shouted across to the Israelite people to fight with him. When they all shrank away and were scared, David stood up and had the confidence to face down Goliath because he said he came in the name of the Lord. He could also think when he failed God, when he committed adultery, when he arranged to have that man killed. He could think of the Lord who forgave him, who gave him grace and extended mercy out into his life. And right at the end of David's life, when David was in his deathbed, he commanded his own son to commit himself to God and to follow God as well. So that is who the Lord was to David through all the different circumstances in David's life. David knew the Lord, and the Lord knew David as well. It was that two-way relationship. So we can bring that concept home this evening and say, who has the Lord been to you? As you look past in your life, who has the Lord been to you? What has he done for you? What circumstances has he pulled you through? How has he helped you in everything you have came to up until this point now? At the end of the day, God is standing with arms wide open. He wants to receive you and to be your shepherd, to guide you, to lead you, and to lead you into good things in your life. Even if we failed, like David failed with Bathsheba, God can restore us. We need to come to him as a Lord and ask for that forgiveness and that restoration. And then we can look forward as well to today, right now. Who is the Lord to us here and now, this evening? As I said, David wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, and probably even today I've made plenty of mistakes as well, but God is still there. He is still the Lord over us if we commit our lives to him. He'll not leave us or forsake us when we make a mistake. We just need to keep on turning to him and looking for his leading in our lives. So to know the Lord is an intimate thing. It's to be in that close, intimate relationship with him where this almighty, huge, massive God can be met. He wants to meet us individually, personally. We're not too small or too insignificant to him at all. So this Lord, this Yahweh, this great I Am that we read of in the Bible, he is my shepherd. We make it a personal thing. It's a very, very personal thing, this relationship that we have with the Lord, the same as it was very personal to David as well. And in some way, it's a kind of confession. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a kind of confession out to the world that we are followers of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I'm a believer. The Lord is ownership over me, the same as the shepherd had over the sheep. And as we read Psalm 23, it's a very, very important word, that my. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what makes it personal to us. Martin Luther put it this way. He said, the heart of true religion lies in personal pronouns. It's not about other people or a congregation or a denomination or a group of believers. It's about me and the Lord. All these other things come into play in the outskirts, but initially it's between us and the Lord, that personal connection that we have with him. It's saving faith. If we are saved, if we are born again, we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. We make it personal. This huge God comes and lives in us and his ownership and leadership over our lives. David knew that God was his Lord. He could see he's my Lord completely and with full-on conviction. I wonder if we can say that today. You know, are we actually making Jesus Lord over our lives? The Lord being in control? Or do we still hold back some elements of our life where, you know, Lord, I know you might want to do something in this circumstance, but, you know, I'm not quite sure that I trust you. Or I actually want to work out my own way. And sometimes we can be quite fickle people. That we want to work out things according to our own minds, but don't want to give ownership over to God. But we should be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, to let him lead us and take us down the path that he wants us to walk on. As we even think of the concept behind Psalm 20, the times that David was living in, that bear in mind it was the Jewish tradition. You know, David's brought up with all the Jewish traditions and the beliefs round about him. And it was the Jewish people, the chosen people. It was the nation, the people, that kind of strong congregational, national belief that people had. That each morning, each night, they would repeat the Shema prayer out of Deuteronomy, I think it is. You know, they would say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Repeating that every day, "The Lord our is one." You know, it was that our, this kind of congregational, national statement, that quite easily, when that was the routine that you were going through, you could make your faith, or you could make your religion, non-personal. It wasn't a "my faith, my God." It was "the Lord our God is one, the Lord our God is one." That David is now kind of turning all that back, and he's looking inward and saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, he is my Lord." And we need to make sure we're doing that in our lives as well. The psalm here, as I said, it's a psalm of relationship, ownership and dependence. That can only happen if we've got that personal relationship with God, and we can say, "He is my shepherd." So God, he's a personal God. He wants to know his sheep. He wants to know you and I individually, fully, completely. But we need to be willing to open up to God in all areas of our life as well. And if we do that, he can provide for us, he can oversee over us, and he can protect us in circumstances also. But if he is to be the shepherd, what do we need to be? We need to be the sheep, okay? We need to be the sheep under God, to put ourselves under his ownership, under his control. Now, sheep were a very common animal in biblical days, and they had many uses for the wool and the butters and cheese and all the kind of products you'd make from the sheep, down to the animals being used as sacrifices in the whole Jewish system. But as we know, sheep aren't the most clever of animals either. Sheep can be quite stupid, and I think we can admit that sometimes we can be quite stupid also in some of the decisions that we make and some of the things that we get ourselves into. But going back to "the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd," God is so big, we are so small, we need to rely on God for the right decisions, for the right actions in our life. When we think of it, massive God shouldn't be our shepherd because we're so small, but God's wanting to be a shepherd over us. He's longing to look after us and look after our lives as well. No matter how small or insignificant we feel to God, we're not. He loves each and every one of us individually and fully. He's got a love for us individually that we can't even comprehend. There's no heights or depths or widths to it. And that's one of the most amazing things, that this huge, massive God wants us so much. He longs for us so much. He longs to care for us and look after us and protect us so much. But we can be fickle, like the sheep. And we run away and we butt against him and we don't submit under him. "The Lord is my shepherd." Let's just keep on repeating that in our mind and make him shepherd and Lord in our lives. But again, sheep can be hard work. A shepherd sometimes has a bit of a struggle on his hand with his sheep at times, that he wants them to do certain things and they can be doing the complete opposite. Sheep can be hard work, but you know what? God is more than capable to deal with us in our lives, no matter how messy they are, no matter how hard things might seem to us. Remember how wee we are, remember how big God is, and he can deal with the circumstances that we're going through. He can deal with our situations. And what we also need to remember is not to be like the wandering sheep. There's always a sheep in the field that manages to get out of the fence, find a wee hole somewhere, a wee space that can squeeze through. Despite being cared for, despite having lush green grass to eat, despite being constantly overseen by the shepherd, sometimes the sheep runs away looking for better. We need to make sure that we are looking to our shepherd, we're listening for our shepherd's voice, and we're staying close to our shepherd. If you turn to John chapter 10 for me just now, please. If you turn to John chapter 10, from verse 7 of John chapter 10, it says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will get in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So the whole narrative of the Bible really is God being a shepherd over his people. Firstly over the people of Israel, and then over all creation, over all mankind. But the problem in the Bible is always sheep wandering away from their master, wandering away from the good shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, "And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And that is the problem that we are faced with, that we can be wanderers, people can be wanderers away from God. But we see here in chapter 10, Jesus came as the good shepherd. He came to right the wrongs. He came to lead the wandering sheep, to bring them back to himself. Even if we think to Jesus' birth, who was it first announced to? By the angels, by the shepherds out in the field. We see right through the Bible this analogy of the shepherds and the sheep, right through all the accounts in the Bible here. He is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That Jesus gave his life up on the cross for us, so that we could truly come into that personal relationship with him, to make him Lord and to make him shepherd over our lives. So the shepherd would tend the flock, and at night they would put the flock in a pen or the back of a cave, and the shepherd would stand or sleep right at the entrance of the cave. That's what it says in John 10:7. "I am the door of the sheep." He was the protector. He would keep the sheep safe during the day and also during the night as well. That he would actually lay down his life for the sheep. If a bear or a lion came during the night, as that shepherd was at the door of the cave, the shepherd would defend the sheep from the predators. That is what Jesus is doing for us. He is our door. He is our protector. He oversees our life, cares for us, and protects us as well. And on the cross of Calvary, he laid down his life for us, for the big predator that was against us, sin and death. He overcame the predator of sin and death in our lives when we gave our life back to him. His blood was shed so that he could be the good shepherd for us. So his purpose, the purpose of Jesus coming, was to give life and to protect us from destruction. He gave his life on the cross for us, but we need to make it personal, to be able to say, "You are my Lord and you are my shepherd, and I trust you and I depend on you and I'm looking to you each and every day." We see in John 10:27-30, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." If we are God's sheep, then we need to be listening out for a shepherd's voice. We need to be in tune with the shepherd's voice, listening for it, and developing that close relationship with the shepherd. The result is the sheep trust the voice of their shepherd, and they no longer want to stray away from the shepherd because they've got trust and security in that voice in their lives. If we want to walk through life feeling secure in our faith, feeling protected and feeling that kind of presence of God in our life, we need to listen to the shepherd, listen to the voice of Jesus, be attuned to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives and stick close to him. That's where our eternal life comes from, where our protection and our inner security comes from as well. But you know, sometimes, as I said, even the sheep that are protected and cared for can wander away. We need to make sure that we are not the wanderers. What can happen to the wandering sheep? They could get killed, injured, damaged, whatever it might be. They're not protected by the shepherd when they wander away out of the field, out with the boundaries that the shepherd has put into place. But what the shepherd does is for the wandering sheep, he searches and he seeks until he finds that lost sheep. And that is how much the Lord loves each and every one of you individually. That even when we run away, even if we willfully find a hole to go and run away from the Lord, he'll come after us, draw us back to him, and draw us back to him. That is the love that he has for each and every one of us. The Bible says that the Lord neither sleeps nor slumbers. He's 24/7 looking out for us, looking out across the whole of creation to see that we are looked after, that we are overseen, that we are being cared for. But we need to stick by our shepherd. We shouldn't want to wander away from him. That shouldn't be something that we are trying to do. Sheep, at the end of the day, cannot look after themselves. They need their shepherd to be nourished, to be safe and to be healthy. And we are the same. We need the Lord Jesus to be safe, to be nourished and to be healthy in our spiritual lives as well. So let's not wander away from him. Let's try to stick close to our shepherd and to listen to his voice. Simply, all the Lord wants to be is a shepherd over our lives. That's what it boils down to. He just wants to be Lord over our lives and for us to look to him each and every day. And if we do that, we're told we shall not want. If the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. The Rolling Stones song, I can't get no satisfaction. And I try and I try and I try. Again, listen to that verse. I try, I try, I try. When we try to find satisfaction out with God, we're not going to win. We're going to keep on trying and trying and trying and getting nowhere. Because satisfaction can be elusive. It's something we search for and seek and never find because we're looking in the wrong places. I shall not want. Why is it the grass is always greener on the other side? Look, the wee sheep here looking out in the next field. Oh, what have you over there? It looks better over there. And in life, we can be like that as well. We're going through our Christian life, trying to walk close with God. And sometimes we think, I wish I could just go and do this, or I wish I could just go and do that. But if we do, we're no longer under the shepherd's supervision. We're no longer in the green pasture the shepherd has carefully tended and put into place. And we put ourselves in danger of predators. And we also put ourselves in danger of not having nourishment in our life as well. If we do that, then we're not being properly looked after, we're not being properly nourished, and we can become sickly. And we don't want to be sickly Christians for the Lord. What this means is I shall not want is the shepherd cares for the sheep so much, all of their needs are met, so they've got no need to want anything. If they're fed and they're looked after and cared after, all of their needs are met, so they don't need to lift their heads up anywhere else and search for anything. Because everything has been provided for them. And that's surely what happens if we truly make the Lord our shepherd. That we are so satisfied we don't need to go looking in other areas of life for something to fill that gap in our life. Because the Lord has seen to it that there's no gap. We've allowed him to satisfy all of the needs that we do have. So if we're discontented, what we need to do is go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to show us why. What area of our life are we holding back on? What area of our life are we saying, "Your Lord, here and here and here, but in these areas here, I'm keeping control myself"? Because that is where the dissatisfaction is coming from, the bits that we're holding on to ourselves. If we give it to God, then he can deal with them, and we can lose that dissatisfaction within us. So, the wee sheep here that's looking out for the greener pastures, if we truly make the Lord our shepherd, and he's a good shepherd. I don't know about this wee lamb here, the field looks a wee bit on the brown side, I'm not quite sure. If that sheep's not been looked after, then he's quite right to look at the next field and think, that looks better. But the good shepherd, Jesus, in our life, he doesn't let us down. He doesn't do things half measures, or maybe I'll look after you. Yous lot over this side, but yous lot, I'm not going to bother. 24/7. Over all situations that he looks after us, so we have no need to want for anything else. So if we don't want for anything else, if we're completely satisfied, then it says, he makes me lie down. Do you ever feel that you just want to go home and just go, lie down, sink into the couch or lie in your bed and just have a wee 40 minutes, a wee power nap in your bed? The psalm here says that the Lord, he makes me lie down. He makes me lie down. Life can be busy. It's always go, go, go. We're constantly going doing things. And I think that's just a common age. We've got so many choices to make. No matter what it is, even if it's as simple as the telly. Well, what channel do I watch? What series do I watch? Do I watch it in catch-up? Do I watch it in terrestrial? Any decision that we make today, we're bombarded with choices and we can become exhausted. A plethora of options to make. But we need to rest in God. We need to ensure we take time out to rest in God's presence, to lie down in his pasture, to read his word, to be with the Lord in prayer, to truly reflect on the fact that the Lord is our shepherd, that he is looking after us, caring for us, he's got things under control. Psalm 127 tells us, "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of an anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." If we want to have that rest, we need to have that time of sleep before the Lord, to lie down in his presence and just be able to give it all over to him. Psalm 4 verse 8, "In peace I will lie down, and you will lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Like the wee sheep that's been totally cared after, he knows that his shepherd is there, he hears his shepherd's voice, and the voice of the shepherd gives him security inside of him. He can lie down knowing his shepherd has got everything under control. Even if there's a wolf prowling about in the field, the shepherd's on it. He can lie down knowing the shepherd is on the case. We need to try and put our trust and our faith that God knows what he's doing. And in hard times, God's got it in his hands, and God's got to deal with it in his timing, and to rest in that fact and the faith and confidence in it. But let's think of the wee sheep here. "I shall not want." There's a wee book that I read an excerpt. It was a guy, Philip Keller, and he points out regarding sheep, they need four things to be able to lie down and sleep and to rest. Going the wrong way. The sheep needs to be free from fear, free from friction, from pests and parasites and flies, and from hunger. So free from fear. If that little sheep knows there's a predator prowling about, that sheep's not going to lie down because he's not going to feel safe. But as soon as he knows his shepherd's on the case, he knows that it's been dealt with, and he's got the security and comfort in that fact. He can be able to lie down knowing that there's no attack going to be made on him that he's not going to be able to recover from. The good shepherd knows what's going on, and the good shepherd's going to protect that little sheep. The same as he's going to do for us. He's looking out over our lives, and he's a protector of our lives as well. And that should make the difference for us, to give us the confidence that no matter what we're going through, nothing's going to overtake us and overcome us, because Jesus Christ is the overcomer. So we need to be free from flies and pests and the kind of parasites there. Sheep can be driven crazy by ticks and flies and all these things that are buzzing about their bodies. What does the shepherd do? Dips the sheep, gives them ointments and treatments, and makes sure that the sheep are free from all these parasites that drive them crazy. How many irritants do you have in your life? Whether it's a circumstance or a person or a group, whatever it might be, we need to trust our good shepherd that he's going to deal with the parasites, that he's going to provide the treatment, he's going to provide the ointment and the process to get rid of them in his timing as well. I'm trying to think of this. Head lice, okay, you get some treatments you put on, doesn't get rid of the head lice completely, but it takes a few hours. Sometimes it takes a process before the irritants go away. But the Lord is on it, and the Lord is dealing with it. Put your faith and your trust in that fact. Free from hunger. "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Can you lie down in your bed at night if your stomach's growling? Can you go to sleep very easily? I know I need my supper. Same with the sheep here. Yeah, Matthew, two bowls of cereal. So, spiritually speaking, we need to be spiritually fulfilled before we can lie down and rest. If we are spiritually thirsting, if we're spiritually parched, then we're not going to be able to rest in the presence of the Lord. The shepherd was in the field, getting rid of the stones, tilling the ground, planting the seeds. Why? Because they'd have a pasture that was going to fulfil the nourishment needs of the sheep here. We think of the promised land, it was a land flowing with milk and honey. That was only possible if there was nice green lush fields, that the bees could feed off the trees and all the blossoms and things, and the milk could only rush and flow where the sheep could feed on the grass and then produce the milk for the suckling babies. Our good shepherd tends the fields. He provides the rice fields, he provides the grass for us to eat on and be nourished by. At the end of the day, our nourishment is the Word of God. We've got to go to the Word of God, that is our green pasture, where we need to eat and be satisfied and nourished from that goodness that only comes from the Word of God there. When we think of these things, free from fear, friction, pests and hunger, all these things, only the shepherd can provide an answer to these. We have a good shepherd that looks after these points here. One of them isn't actually covered as a friction. That sheep can be quite docile creatures, but get them in a group, in a flock, they can actually fight amongst themselves quite a lot. We hear about chickens in the pecking order, or there's like a button order between the sheep, they'll nudge and kick and butt against each other, try to establish the pecking order within the flock. They're trying to see who's toughest, who's number one, try to see who's going to be in charge of all the different circumstances, who's going to be first for the food and these different things. But as soon as the shepherd steps in, they look to the shepherd and they calm down. And that's what we need to be like as well. We shouldn't be butting off one another, try to be number one or try to get a position, but we need to just look to the shepherd. He's going to be there and calm us all down and bring the flock together. So in a Christian's life, we need to consider these different things here. Are we needing to look to God tonight and to trust him with our fears? Is there something that's making you fearful? Give it over to God. He is your good shepherd. He's not going to let you down. Is there a circumstance that we're going through? There's friction, there's buttons ahead, and we're not quite sure what's happening. The good shepherd is going to be on the case. Listen to the voice of the shepherd. Let the voice of the shepherd give you comfort, knowing that he's in control over the situation. He is in ownership over the flock. He will speak to all the sheep and bring the flock under control again. Give him the time to do that. Is there things been pestering you? Again, trust in the fact that God is going to give you the correct treatment to get rid of the pests in your life, whatever they may be. And have you got a deep inner hunger for the Word of God? God will meet that. Continue to look to the Lord, your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Be in the Word of God. Lie yourself down in the green pasture of God's Word and feed on it. And then you will no longer have that hunger. He will meet your needs there. There's no substitute for this wee sheep to the shepherd. If he doesn't have the shepherd, he's in a bit of a sticky wicket. For us, if we don't rely on Jesus Christ, our good shepherd, we're in a sticky wicket as well. We're not going to be as healthy and as fulfilling as we should be. So as we come to the end here, we need to think of ourselves lying down in God's green pasture. And that's what God wants for us, to give us that inner security and peace. You don't need to fly a kite, that's optional, but that's what he wants us to be able to like to rest in his presence, knowing that he is good shepherd over our life, that we shall not want because he's looking after us, and he will make us lie down because he will meet our needs if we truly, truly give them over to him. So in conclusion, a wee statement here from F.B. Meyer that wrote this about Jesus the shepherd. Jesus, he's a shepherd's heart, beating with pure and generous love, that counted not his own lifeblood too dear a price to pay for our ransom. He's a shepherd's eye that takes the whole flock and misses not even the poor sheep wandering away in the mountains cold. He is a shepherd's faithfulness, which will never fail or forsake, leave us comfortless nor flee when he sees the wolf coming. He is a shepherd's strength, so that his is well able to deliver us from the jaw of the lion or the paw of a bear. He is a shepherd's tenderness. No lamb is so tiny that he will not carry it. No saint so weak he will not gently lead. Nor so faint that he will not give it rest. Jesus is our shepherd. He's our good shepherd. He's our chief shepherd. He's the shepherd of his flock. And he's the shepherd of our souls. We need to trust in him. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you are our shepherd. That you are the good shepherd, Lord, that you are the shepherd that takes care of all the needs of your flock, Father God. Not only just the flock, Lord, but you look to each individual sheep, each individual person, Lord, and you see our needs and the wants in our life, Father God. You're willing to step in and to undertake for us, Father. You long for us to lie down in security and peace, Lord. You long for us to lie down in the green pasture and feel your presence in our lives, Lord God, to listen and hear your voice guiding us through each and every day, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that we have you in our lives, Lord, that we can call you Lord, that we can call you our great shepherd. We thank you, Lord God, that you can deal with each and every situation, Father. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to help us to hand our lives over to you, Lord, to truly to say that you are Lord in all areas of our life. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're so great and you're so powerful, Lord. There's nothing that's beyond your control. There's nothing that's beyond your touch, Lord. The things that are pestering us, Lord, the things that are making us fearful, the things that are really unsettling us, Lord God, we hand them over to you this evening. We ask you to undertake, we ask you to deal with them, Lord, to right them, Lord. Where there's issues within the flock, Lord, we ask you to be the great shepherd and to lead and to direct people on the correct path that they should be on, Father. I ask you, Lord God, to direct me, Lord, to direct each and every person here tonight. And we thank you, Lord, that you are more than able to do that, Lord. You're not only able, but you're willing and you're wanting. You get such a desire for each and every one of us, Lord. We hand our lives over to you, Lord, we say, and give you permission to lead us, Lord, to undertake in the areas of our life that we're having difficulties within, Lord. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.